We've got right next door here to a great thing in town. By the way, is this where the beet plant used to be?
Yes.
Isn't that something? I can almost feel it, can't you? I feel like the presence of of beets for some reason. But it's all been reused, repositioned, and now you've got the Wisconsin. You've got the beautiful shower center right here, and right next door you've got the Wisconsin Auto Museum, which is a great thing. And the man most responsible for it, joining us right now, Dale Anderson, ladies and gentlemen. He made it happen. Is that a position you won too? Like, do you have to show up in a swimsuit?
Well, I thought for radio I was okay.
Yeah, no, but I mean, to be head of the auto museum, there was not a swimsuit competition for that.
No. I just did it.
You did it. You're the man really responsible for this whole thing, right? Because this wouldn't be here probably, and next door the auto museum wouldn't be there if it weren't for the things that you've done.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that, but, you know, I did have a board of directors, too.
Ah.
Yeah, I know. We only meet twice a year anyhow.
Oh,
so
you know, they just sit there and listen to what you say, right? That's what a board of directors
is
all about.
Yeah.
So what's the history on it? How did that work?
Well, we started out, got the building, and 165,000 square feet of buildings and 12 acres of land.
Yeah. And this was the beet plant?
And this was the cannery. You know.
Yeah.
It was Libby's.
Libby's, yeah.
At one point in time, this is the largest beet cannery in the world.
Yeah.
And then...
Did you think about doing a beet museum?
I was thinking about that, yeah. Yeah.
It's limited, though, yeah. Harvard beets, Harvard... Right, Harvard Beet Wall of Fame or something.
Yeah, well, everybody buys frozen beets now.
Yeah, so it's a frozen beet. Borscht, you have the borscht section?
Anyhow, we had, I was working for the Chamber of Commerce and the Industrial Development Corporation.
Yeah.
Was buying some land out in the industrial park from the cannery, found out the cannery was going to shut down.
Right.
And that's when I started to talk to them about, donating the building and the property. So in December of 84, parent company, which was S.S. Pierce, donated all of the property.
That's great.
And we took it over with $2,700 cash money.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Was that your money?
No.
Why did I know that answer before
yes,
I asked?
Yes, indeed.
Wow, what a deal.
So then we had some people work on the Jobs Training Partnership Act during the summers. We had some kids here that... helped clean the place out because it was, it was quite a mess. It was a cannery.
Yeah.
And all the good stuff, of course, they took with them, sent it to other plants. But, we had the jobs training guys and did a lot of cleaning up ourselves. And by July of 86, we opened up as a museum, had 46 cars. And by December of 86...
Those are your cars, first ones in there?
No.
Just 46 years?
Yeah, they're 46 on loan. Mm-hmm. We didn't own any of them at that time.
Oh.
So, but right now, we've had a mix. You know, half of them are owned by us. They were donated to us. And the other half are on loan.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I just took in a new one here last Saturday. We brought in another.
What'd you get?
Another Kissel, 1912.
Another Kissel?
Yeah. There's only about 125 restored Kissels in the world.
Yeah.
And we've got 25 of them. So.
Really?
Yeah. Good.
Now, all right, so the backstory on that, the Kissel Auto Plant used to be here in town.
Six blocks from here.
Yeah, I think we passed it. There's a sign there.
There's a sign there, right.
Yeah.
So that's...
But isn't it a funny thing, though, because Mercedes-Benz is still going strong, but Kissel made, like, a quality car.
Well, sure, but, it was like a lot of companies died in the Depression, and that's pretty much what happened to Kissel. But after they went out of business as a car company, they had done more business with Sears Roebuck. And so they started to build outboard engines for Sears Roebuck called the Water Witch. Had a slightly different name to some people, but anyhow. Well, they were guaranteed to get you to the center of the lake.
Yeah. This is all a routine. You got a routine that goes over this whole thing. I won't get
so from 36 until 92, we built outboard engines in Hartford, which is an outstanding period of time.
Yeah.
So 92 was the last year of production of that type in Hartford.
But the Kissel, I mean, Fatty Arbuckle had a Kissel.
Yeah, he did, and Claudette Colbert had
Claudette
one.
Claudette Colbert? Which one? They had that special, what was that kind?
The Gold Bug.
The Gold Bug.
Yeah.
You got one of those there?
Speedster. Yeah, we've got one.
Yeah, you got a Gold Bug.
We got one. It was donated by Fred and B. Shower.
Yeah.
Her maiden name was Kissel, so.
Yeah. And nice. What was the Kissel model? I think that's they had a motto, right? They said
every inch a car.
Yeah.
And that was in the early days prior to 1918.
Yeah. That might have killed them right there. They needed a better motto than every inch a car.
Yeah, well, and it was in, you know, it was Kissel car with all K's, which sounded so German.
Yeah, just
and
a bit.
It was World War I.
Yeah.
And so they changed the name to just Kissel.
What else you got there? Now, you got that salesman's card. I think that's a
salesman's car. Which one's that?
Isn't that the guy who drove all those thousands of miles?
Oh, yeah, the million-mile Saab.
Yeah.
You betcha. That's that's an interesting car. He said he killed 8 deer with it.
Even with all the safety features on the Saab, he killed 8 deer.
Yeah,
isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's on display. It was kind of funny. You know, he was on TV a lot, and he was talking about all these miles he put on and all the stuff he used to do with it.
Yeah.
And once he donated it to us, I had people calling me from Moscow to Tokyo, and they said, "Oh, please send us a picture of this Saab." I'm like, "Hey, wait a minute, go off the internet. It's a Saab. There's nothing special.
Looks like
about
a Saab.
It. Yeah, it looks just like a gray Saab.
Yeah,
but you have to admit it's over a million miles on it.
Yeah. What was his business? What was he a salesman?
He was in insurance.
That figures.
Yeah. All Wisconsin.
Yeah. All for an evil end. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. What else you got there? You got the you got Nash's.
Sure, we've got the only collection of Nash's. They actually rent space from us to put up their display.
There's still a Nash somewhere that does that?
There's a club there.
Oh.
4,000 members or something
worldwide.
So we've got a bunch of Nash's.
Have you got a Metropolitan?
One Metropolitan.
My brothers had those. My brother Clayton and Howard, my two oldest brothers, tried to share. They share owned.
In
Metropolitan, which is it's three wheels, isn't it?
No, it's four.
Is it four wheels? Okay, but it looks like it would be a three-wheeler.
Just barely four.
just barely four.
Yeah.
Little tiny thing.
Yeah, I remember we had four football players in one time.
Did you? That was just for a joke?
Yeah, just for a joke.
And you got one of those. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, and of course we've got our train, 250-ton steam locomotive, which has been all restored at a cost of $400,000.
Who paid for that?
Mostly people from Bill Gardner paid for a lot of it.
Yeah.
And then the actual owners paid for it.
Yeah.
And they did a lot
of
work.
I noticed you never paid for anything yourself.
No, of course not. You know, they asked,
you never pick up a check or anything?
Well, they asked me what kind of car that I have in the museum. I said, I get to play with all of them.
Yeah.
Of course, you always go out with a toolbox. I don't care how well it's restored, take a toolbox.
Can you do you work on these cars
or
something?
Sure.
You do?
Well, when I started out, did just about everything here. So.
Yeah.
But I don't do quite as much as I used to as far as the physical stuff.
A little hard to get parts for a Kissel, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you have to get them made. And we've had parts made here in town, and they've done a good job.
What goes on a Kissel?
Well, there's certain parts, like on the back of the generator is the holder for the distributor.
Mm-hmm.
And that was made out of pot metal, and they just crumbled.
Yeah.
And so we got the high school involved, and they made a can, what do they call it, with the drafting equipment anyhow.
Mm.
And then they converted it to a CD, and then we sent it over to CDM Tool, and then they made a tool that made the CD, they made the parts for us.
No kidding.
I mean, you can't get them any other way.
Now it's a high-tech Kissel. If Kissels had survived, they'd be making, what do you think they'd be making now? It was a pretty advanced car for its time, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, they were very advanced for the time. The problem was that they used a lot of pot metal, and the pot metal just fell apart. You know, that was real cheap metal.
That was a bad idea.
And there was a speedometer, a little gadget on the back of the transmission for the speedometer pickup.
Wow.
Those are pot metal. Those fell apart, so we've made some of those.
But it was every inch a car.
Oh, yeah, every inch. Yeah.
Every inch pot metal, unfortunately.
Yeah, that was all handmade. Of course, one of the unusual things is we've got one car with an aluminum hood, and a steel body, and we've got one car that has a steel body and aluminum hood, and I never could understand that. Well, yeah. When I first opened up in the early days, we had some of the mechanics around that would that knew about it, and I asked them, I said, why was it that way? And they said, well, when we ran out of one, we used the other.
Makes sense to me.
Pretty simple.
That's pretty straightforward.
You bet.
I would say. And then they ended up, they made fire trucks and things, too.
Well, yeah, they made the chassis, and then they were outfitted down in, at Pierce.
Yeah. And I saw this other car, this
the Ruxton.
Ruxton. Do you have a Ruxton there?
We don't have a Ruxton.
They're pretty
rare,
I think.
I've been trying to get a Ruxton for the last 25 years.
This, I would like to drive this personally because I need this.
We know there's a fellow down in Texas owns five Ruxtons.
Five Ruxtons?
One of them is Bill Kissel's personal Ruxton.
Oh, wow.
And, in fact, one of my board directors just happened to be down in Houston and met with the guy and sat in Grandpa's car and all that sort of stuff, and we sure hope we can get it up.
Did you make him an offer?
No, he wasn't even interested
in
loaning
it. He's got to donate
it. No, he don't even want to loan it to us.
No, really?
No, not at this point in time.
And that was front-wheel drive, was it?
Yeah, that was front-wheel drive.
Yeah.
But Kissel was supposed to build the open touring cars for Ruxton, and in return they were supposed to get new cash from a guy named Archie Andrews, and you know, I could go into lots and lots of detail, but what happened was the new cash didn't come, and the Ruxton guy ran out of money, and the way the deal was written, the guy would have gotten the whole company if they didn't perform. Well, he didn't perform, so they went into bankruptcy to avoid it, so they kept their assets. Kissel did.
I thought you could say something else there for a minute.
No. Well, depends on your leaning.
I want to thank you very much. It's right next door here. It's the Wisconsin Auto Museum.
And we're open today.
Open today. It's the best facility of its type in the state and perhaps in the country.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you very much, Dale Anderson. Ladies and gentlemen. He's the man who made it happen. Dale Anderson. Hartford, where the car is the star.